sampled it from them, but it's not the same bass drum.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going.
Yeah? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the owners to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright
experiment.
Welcome, welcome. You're tuned into CITR 101.9 FM.
Vancouver.
Vancouver. Our town.
Yeah.
This is the copyright experiment. Thursday night. It's 11:01, 11:02 right now. The copyright experiment where we talk about issues facing copyright in music and intellectual property and all that good stuff. And also play exclusively freely available music, which we're going to get to after our discussion today.
Yeah.
If you want to check out all our shows too, might as well do that now. Our blog is copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com, and we host all our shows there, and you can download all the tracks we play for free.
And we have links to all the songs we play, so you can download them for yourself.
Exactly.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I just heard in the intro today, there's a part where some guy's saying, copyright is not doing crap for me.
Yeah.
So I think that ties into what we're going to talk about today, which is SOCAN and other sort of related things.
Yeah. So recently at the station, every quarter, there's a few days where this organization called SOCAN tracks the music that we're playing, and they use that information to pay artists that we play on the radio royalties for radio play.
Yeah, and it's a 28-day period. You said
well,
quarterly.
It's combined 28. The 28 days are combined throughout the year.
Okay.
So
so it's 20 divided by 4.
Yeah. So every quarter, they do a few days throughout the week,
okay.
And based on those days, they pay the artists that we play, and they can afford to do that because we, as a radio station, as well as many other businesses across Canada, pay licensing fees to SOCAN so that they can distribute that money to artists.
Yep, and that makes us support the industry and also be legal.
Right, it allows the mandate of SOCAN, which for the record stands for the Society of Composers, Authors, and Music Publishers of Canada. Their mandate is to collect money from people who are using music, who are, you know, taking advantage of the intellectual property in Canada and, you know, allow the artists that make that to capitalize on their work.
So they can continue doing so and put themselves in. Do you want to talk about the history of SOCAN at all?
Sure. I could talk briefly about it. It's not terribly interesting.
I mean, it was basically they started as different names.
Yeah.
Starting from like some British systems and then kind of combined with other things. And
right.
Eventually they kind of evolved into SOCAN in 1990. That's about all that really happened. Nothing terribly interesting.
They combined into SOCAN in 1990 to represent all the music players in Canada.
But they've kind of been around in some sense for
a long time.
50 years, 60 years.
Yeah, probably at least since the Copyright Act has been in the Canadian Copyright Act. If you want to read more about the history, you can at SOCAN.ca. They got all their history. It's super exciting. It's not actually that exciting. But what we do want to talk about today is, well, we kind of want to explain how SOCAN works, how it affects artists, how it affects businesses who like to play music and stuff like that. So the general idea is that money flows from people who want to play music to SOCAN, and SOCAN distributes that to the artists that are members of their organization and pay them royalties. So the only way that you can get money paid to you through SOCAN is if you're a member, which makes sense. But it also, what it does, it's kind of interesting because only members of SOCAN get paid, but businesses who pay for a license to SOCAN, they can play effectively, SOCAN says, whatever they want.
Yeah.
So, which is interesting actually for a show like ours, because, we do play a lot of artists who haven't really, embrace the classic distribution models or classic ways of getting their music out there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's very likely that a lot of the artists we play aren't registered with SOCAN or mm-hmm. its American counterpart, ASCAP.
Yeah.
So those people aren't even going to get paid if we play their show during SOCAN days.
Yeah.
I guess we can say SOCAN also, they collect royalty money from businesses through a whole range of mediums. So live concerts, if there's a live venue, they're usually licensed by SOCAN, and so they pay fees, and whatever live act happens that night, they record all the songs they play and they send it to SOCAN, and SOCAN sends the royalties out. Radio, we kind of just explained, so the songs that we play get sent to SOCAN, and then we pay a lump sum. Every radio station in Canada pays a lump sum to SOCAN, and they use that money to pay out artists.
And they also have connections internationally with other similar organizations in mm-hmm. different countries, which basically distribute money again to the artists in, say, America, for example. So if we play in some U.S. band during the days in which they're monitoring, in which SOCAN is monitoring, then some of our lump sum, I assume, will go to ASCAP
right.
in the U.S., and then that money will then get distributed to the artists in the U.S. mm-hmm. who are being played in the Canadian radio stations, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, and it works the other way, too. If mm-hmm. we have Canadian artists being played abroad, SOCAN has connections with other organizations that allows Canadian artists to get paid for money for song plays that happen overseas.
Yeah. Do you know like how many partners they have? Like I know Britain and US. I'm sure there's.
They don't actually. I haven't found any mention of how many they have. Yeah. But at least anywhere in the first world has mm-hmm. organizations like this. And you know, as we were talking about last week, there's a lot of countries that have intellectual property standards across Europe at least, and the Western world and Asia as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they also collect royalties from TV and film. So this is in TV, especially when there's music videos. Obviously, they're getting money for that, but also for background music and soundtracks and stuff like that, and in film as well.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine the royalties on like Super Bowl commercials?
Yeah, that's
a song on there. That's a bit of money.
Yeah, for sure. For films, they also the producer of a film will send SOCAN all the songs that are in their movie, and every time that movie gets played in a cinema or on TV or on DVD or something, then they pay a sum to license that song.
Mm-hmm.
So actually movie theaters also pay fees to SOCAN so that any movie they show, if it has a song in it, then SOCAN will license or will pay royalties for that license.
And for the TV and cinema, do they do a similar kind of quarterly sampling, or do they send
it's a little different because the cinema pays the license fee to SOCAN,
mm-hmm.
but the way that they'll know which songs are actually being played in the movie through the film is from the producer. So the producer of the film will send to SOCAN the list of songs in their movie, and then SOCAN will get the information of what movie is playing at the theaters that are registered with them through distributors for film and stuff like that. So they find out the movies that are playing, and then they cross-reference it with the list they have from the producers, and then they pay the artists based on that.
So in that way, it's more like the commercial radio stations that it's not a sampling, but they're actually knowing what's being played, and they distribute it based on that.
Yeah, and that's a good point. So in commercial radio, most commercial radio anyway, they have automated systems that pick up songs that are being played in real time, and they pay royalties to every artist that gets paid on the air, even if it's not during monitoring hours, because they're always being monitored.
Yeah.
You also pay, individuals kind of only pay to SOCAN indirectly through levies for private copying, and that's something that happened fairly recently in, I think, early 2000s.
I didn't even know about this until just today.
Yeah, so it's basically anytime you buy blank media, you're paying a levy on that, and that goes to not directly to Soul Canada. I believe it goes to the CPP or something. And then they send a cut of their levies to SoCan because, you know, they're assuming you're going to be putting music on there and you're going to be copying from your CDs and copying from this. And it's kind of a funny thing because they make assumptions about what you're going to be using your blank media for. But
And they also have things for MP3 players, right?
Yeah, MP3 players as well. It's blank media. Yeah. So if you want to know how big SoCan is and how pervasive they are, they distribute, last year anyway, in 2012, they distributed $220 million in royalties to artists across Canada. They have 115,000 members, and 48,000 of those actually earn royalties. So, I mean, they're a really big organization for like a nonprofit organization that has, you know, membership and executive and stuff like that. They're huge.
For a nonprofit arts kind of thing, that's a lot.
Yeah, they're very pervasive. And they also collect tariff money from basically blanket licenses from uses elsewhere. Apparently a quarter of their money, that so last year's $220 million, a quarter of that comes from radio licenses.
Hmm. Cool. But it's still interesting to me to like look at how little that amount of money is compared to other industries, you know?
Yeah, I guess like, so.
Compared to, like, I don't know, oil.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you can throw that away.
The arts certainly are not energy.
Yeah. Just interesting. Anyways, though, kind of off topic.
I guess it kind of shows where our priorities are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
As a society.
You can see what's productive in economical sense. Especially internationally when it's more tangible and more, you know, absolute, has a function, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Like a, you know, like a very clear-cut function, something that, you know, is like...
Yeah, has a more...
Not that I agree with that, but that's what,
right,
what happens.
Where cultural things like music have a more dispersed and a function in society that's not immediately noticeable.
Yeah, it's not something you can just...
But, you know, as I would argue, and you probably would too, has a very functional role. It's just not as immediately apparent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I work with a guy who, if there's no music on, he's just like... Someone put something on, like I need some background music. You know?
Right.
So, I mean, there's a function right there. If it wasn't for that, you'd probably go crazy at work.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening, Grayson. Anyways.
So one of the funny things about SoCan, I find, is that they really kind of, they have a system where they have businesses pay licenses and, Those businesses, they pay a blanket license and they get to play whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they can track what is being played, and sometimes they can't. And so they kind of do what I call kind of a shotgun approach, where they just collect a whole bunch of money and then try to, you know, give it out to the artists, and hopefully they're giving it out to the right people to, you know, represent what's actually being played and liked in Canada. But there's kind of been an upending in how artists get money lately, and, you know, that's something we were always talking about, how artists are upending the distribution models and how, you know, actually we talk more about how they're not really getting as much money because a lot of people are giving their music away for free.
Yeah.
But at the same time, free to user doesn't mean that it's not going to make any money for the artist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've talked about other revenue models, such as just gaining all your money from live touring and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
sort of alternatives to immediate reimbursement.
Right. Or the digital download.
Yeah.
And I think last week and a couple weeks ago, I'm sure we talked about streaming services,
mm-hmm.
Which actually pay out small amounts, but, you know, not negligible money to artists. But also there's newer kind of internet models that are upending even the giants of SoCan and ASCAP. And
like record labels to some degree.
Yeah, and record labels. And what's happening now, and we talked about this when we were talking about the Harlem Shake and that phenomenon, how they were actually, Mad Deason and Bauer were supposedly making money off of the YouTube views.
Mm-hmm.
And there are services... For example, one called what is it?
Audium.
Audium, yes. Audium, which has an exclusive contract with YouTube to search all of its databases and of videos and find all the instances of usages of songs and pay royalties to the ones that have, you know, signed up with Audium to collect those royalties.
I didn't know that it was exclusive. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. I believe for the performance.
Okay.
Copyright.
I gotcha.
And it's kind of funny because Audium, so if you sign up for Audium as an artist,
yeah,
you can post your videos online, and anytime someone views them, you get the partial ad revenue that YouTube has to pay out.
Total.
Well, you get the cut that YouTube gives you. YouTube collects some of the ad revenue,
okay,
and they give the rest to the copyright holder. And gotcha. Audium takes none of that, but gotcha. they do take a fee for finding songs in other people's videos. But what's interesting about it to me, and Audium is like this, and Spotify is like this, and other services that are ad driven for revenue, is that the model has shifted from in the pre-internet days from businesses paying to play music to businesses facilitating the playing of music and advertisers basically paying the bill,
yeah,
to artists. So we've shifted from royalties to advertising revenue to artists. And advertising revenue is kind of new for music artists to collect now.
Yeah, and it makes sense to me. I mean, you look at Google, I mean, they're getting huge because they've embraced this model of advertising being a new way of funding things indirectly. And I think music following that is a smart thing for artists and a good thing for artists in the long run, potentially. You know. And then what was the other one that you want to talk about?
The other point I want to talk about?
The other, like, distribution platform.
Well, there's other ones. Oh, yeah, DistroKid I wanted to talk about. DistroKid is kind of interesting. They're not really a competitor to SoCan, but they are a way to for artists to get their music out there without a label getting in the way of them.
Mm-hmm.
And DistroKid is basically like Bandcamp, except for the major digital download players. So DistroKid, they let you pay the artist $20 a year, and for that fee, you get to upload as many tracks as you want to all the digital download sites, such as iTunes or Amazon or Google Play or any of those sites where you pay for downloads. You get to upload that for free, and you collect 100% of your the artist cut of those songs.
So, DistroKid doesn't take any money from that, but they take money. They get the money from your subscription yearly.
Exactly. And the way I kind of like to think about it is that they're basically one giant record pool that doesn't really pick and choose who who gets on. They're letting other people pay to get on that kind of distribution model.
Which I think is interesting because it creates sort of like a natural selection in music. You know, the ones that make it are going to be the ones that get enough revenue through that, which...
Right.
Could be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's also left up to other factors like marketing.
Yeah,
of course. YouTube Plays. I mean, YouTube Plays will indirectly lead to more digital downloads.
Yeah, I mean, that's always how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, Harlem Shake made number one because of YouTube, right?
Yeah.
On iTunes. One thing I wanted to highlight, though, that about these new models, for sure, is that they're really making it hard for SoCan to compete in... As a organization that is looking out for artists, because a lot of artists would probably say, well, a lot of new artists, they aren't as interested in, you know, going through organizations like SoCan because they're so huge and monolithic.
Yeah.
And even SoCan, when you look on their information packages and stuff, their payments for live performance can take up to 9 months to happen. And they only pay out for radio royalties and TV royalties every quarter.
Yeah.
So
I don't think they let just anyone become a member, do they? I mean, there's a...
I don't think you have to, like, apply much. But you do have to sign up, and you do have to, you know, show that you're an artist and that should be getting paid and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there are other models, like DistroKid, that they'll put your songs up on iTunes within hours. So in less than a day, you have your music from on your computer to in iTunes and collecting money from it. Yeah. And on Audium, it takes between, they said, 4 hours or 4 weeks before you start collecting advertising revenue from YouTube views.
Versus 9 months, I mean, that's...
Yeah, or every quarter, which is every 3 months. It's not even a competition.
Yeah, either way, it's like, you know, 4 to 8 times as much time.
And recently, SoCan, I mean, I think they've realized this, and they've actually struck a deal with Audium to collect the advertising revenue for all of the members that they represent. And if you're a member of SoCan, you don't actually have to go to Audium directly to collect your advertising revenue. You can just do it from SoCan, and they'll do it for you. So, I mean, they're recognizing that they're kind of running into some competition now.
Yeah.
And I think the reason they've become so big is because they've been the only organization and, you know, the best choice to make money as an artist without outside of CD sales and stuff.
And thankfully a not-for-profit group as well.
Yeah, yes, they are.
I don't think you mentioned that.
So, yeah, that's kind of everything I wanted to talk about, SoCan.
Yeah.
Want to finish up with anything?
I think that's everything. I'm curious to see what happens to SoCan in the future, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dust still hasn't really settled since the tubes of the internet were set up.
Yeah, for sure. And the fact that these platforms are still kind of coming out is really important. And it's kind of cool now that the internet used to be this big, crazy place where, you know, music was just, if you put music out there, it's just going to be out there forever and it's going to be free and everybody's just going to have at it. But now there's actual really interesting models for artists to get paid.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for better or for worse, it does bring in a business aspect to distribution, which, you know, was really bogged down the music industry before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to see the direction and we'll keep on top of that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing history in the making for sure right now.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Okay, so
with that grandiose statement, I think we're going to head to some commercials and we'll be back with some less grandiose but much more entertaining music for you. Or not more entertaining, I guess maybe more entertaining than my statements. Anyways.
Either way, DJ Maitre will play some tunes when we get back.
It'll be good. No comparison needed. You're listening to CITR 101.9, The Copyright Experiment. This is DJ Mochi and Autonomy.
We'll be back in a minute.
Right back.
Big Joy is a music festival that in its inaugural year will be showcasing current experimental acts in Vancouver. We're presenting 4 shows over 3 days, December 5th through the 7th. Presenting a broad spectrum of Vancouver's weirdo music scene, Big Joy will encompass everything from drone and harsh noise through to ambient and electronica. Tickets are available at your local record store.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
Welcome back, CITR. This is The Copyright Experiment. Got some tunes coming up. DJ Mochi is going to spin us a set. How you doing? You ready?
Yeah, I'm going.
All right, let's get in some tunes. What do we got first?
It's a Machine Drum, Don't Want to Lose You's Braille remix.
Ooh, a Braille remix of Machine Drum. Sit back and relax. That was I Am Nobody with Needs and Wants and Bad Habits. What do we got next here? This is B-Ames with the Sniffles. The bump bed.
Can I get a bump?
Freaky.
Last track we heard was DJ Bake, When We Get Freaky with DJ Unique. This is Husky out of Detroit, little young kid, tons of free downloads, no stranger to our show. Check him out. Track was Electric Mantis, a song called Flips and Flops, Drips and Drops, apparently popularized on Reddit. Next one is a Humans remix by our very own DJ Mochi. Listening to the Copyright Experiment. We're going to take a quick break. If you like any of the songs you just heard, make sure you check out the blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. Be right back in a minute.
The Urban Renewal Project is 1 year strong. Come join us for our anniversary party on December 17th at the Cobalt. Showcasing Canadian hip-hop, R&B artists JC Subliminal, Family Compact, Black Ace, Baby C, B Diamond, and Don Castro. The concert will be broadcasted live from 10 p.m. till midnight on 101.9 FM. On December 17th, experience the best of Canadian hip-hop at the Cobalt. For more information, check out Facebook, The Erp. See you there!
Jazz show.
About to do a show promo. What's up?
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.
Little known fact, the Jazz Show is the longest running jazz radio show in Vancouver. Anyway, we've got a track coming in right now. This is a remix of Ty Dolla Sign by Cut Corners and Marvel. The crew, the freshest. Probably seen them DJ at Fortune or something. Enjoy.
I'm fucking around with two bitches, but I never made them all my misses. Yeah, I'm paranoid, I'm tripping, I've been smoking.
smoking. I got a bad light skin from the valley. She be in the club with no panties. Little bitch used to be my favorite, but now we don't speak the same language. I love my bitch, I can bang it, but my dark skin bitch know how to take dick. I got them both the same damn red bottoms, and bought them both the same damn fragrance. Both of my bitches drive Range Rovers. None of my bitches can stay over. Both of my bitches look good as fuck. Your bitch look like a booger wolf. Walk in two of my bitches in the club, and I know they know about each other. I think these bitches tryna set me up. Maybe I'm just paranoid. Yeah, I'm paranoid, I'm trippin'. I've been smoking and sippin'. I'm fucking around with two bitches, but I never made them all my missus. Yeah, I'm paranoid, I'm trippin'. I've been smoking and sippin'. I'm paranoid, I'm trippin'. I've been smoking.
Pot, you get the munchies. You know that? I got the munchies. Now the other thing that happens when you smoke pot, you get paranoid.
Baby, I'm just paranoid.
This is Jesse Lanza, track called Keep Moving, off her new album. Pull My Hair Back on Hyperdub. One of my favorites right now. We'll be right back. Okay, PK. Track called Blacklight. This whole EP is free for download on the Low Indigo Bandcamp. Pay what you want. Low Indigo, the label started by Vancouver man Michael Redd.
me. They can't eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Listen. This is politics as usual. Child stumble just why. Did you hear it? You gotta listen like me.
Okay.
Let's talk about the issue.
Mr. Cuomo, 30 seconds for you, sir.
Great. I represent the rent too damn high part.
It's a track by LaToya Waxon. The rent is too damn high, as you can hear. Before that, we heard Klein, another low Indigo label mate. Track called Caveman. It's gonna be our last track. If you liked any of the tracks we played, check out the blog copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. Free downloads for everything. That's it for tonight's show. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Pierre with Oral Tentacles. Take you through the rest of the night. Hope you enjoyed. Check out the blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. All your download links. Have a good night.
Attention class, settle down. My name is Chris Connolly from the band Hot Panda, also known as your professor. Let's get one thing straight. If there's some of you that think this class is going to be a walk of the...